Well, good morning. Hey, so today we're in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And as you've known this last several weeks, the book of Ephesians is really, the best title is Bodybuilding. And it's called Bodybuilding because it's really a book about building up the church and then specifically building up the Christians in the church. And so as we head into chapter 5, it's a continuation of chapter 4. But what I'd like to do is just start by just outlining chapter 5, and then we'll dive in to what the message God has for us today, okay? And so let's do that. So the chapter 5 outline here, the goal is really becoming more like Jesus, right? And the question really is how do you do that? And so in chapter 5 here, there's kind of three themes. The first one says, hey, you become more like Jesus by being an imitator of God. Okay, so that's kind of verses 1 to 7. And he highlights a couple of specifics. He says, you need to live a life of love. You need to have not even a hint of sexual immorality, of greed. And then no obscenities or coarse joking. And what's interesting about that is if he's going to pick a couple of examples, he locks in on some examples that are very relevant for men. And if you think about kind of where we as guys struggle, it's, hey, are we thinking about our agenda, what we want, or, you know, are we focused on other people? And then, you know, when you think about some of the big hurdles for men, sexual morality has got to be right there at the top. And then right behind that is greed. And what's interesting is you know, there are a lot of books about how men grow and develop over life. And one of the interesting things is there is a book called Season of Life. And it's by a guy who was in the NFL. He was an atheist. His brother gets cancer, dies. And in that whole process, he comes to faith. And now he spends a lot of time coaching young men. And what he says is when boys start out and they're trying to establish their worth in the pecking order, a lot of times it starts out with how good of an athlete are you, right? Like that is the measuring stick for young men. You know, that is how you kind of earn your stripes. And he says, and then what happens is as they begin to advance through high school, it becomes, how am I doing with the ladies? And then it moves from there into how am I doing financially in terms of career success? And so for men, what's very central to them is hey, you know, how am I measuring my worth? Starts with a good athlete, moves to how am I doing with the ladies, and then it ends up with how am I doing financially? And there's this constant comparison going on in our society of saying, okay, who is successful and how have we made it? And what's interesting is to see that as Paul is writing this, he is beginning to lock in on some of those same issues, which is really getting at the, how do you measure your worth? And are you focused on the right things? Okay. And something else that really comes up is Paul, in all of his letters, locks in on how do people change? And so we're going to follow that kind of as we talk about today, which is it's not just here are some things you should do, right? But how do we go about being transformed from the inside out? So that's the first section. The second section really is live as children of the light, okay? Which is a continuation of being imitators of God. And what he is painting here is that there are two paths, okay? There is a path where you're running after Jesus, okay? And there is a path where you are doing whatever it is you want to do and you're not thinking about Jesus, okay? And I was in a conversation just 5 minutes ago where we were talking about what does it mean to follow Jesus, okay? And what's very clear is you're either following him or you're not, okay? There's no middle ground. And we live and work and, you know, alongside of lots of men who we would say have a shallow faith, okay? And there is a sense in which they're not really running after Jesus, okay? And they're kind of going through the motions, and so we see this all around us. And Paul is really saying, hey, live as children of the light. And then the last section, which kind of comes out of left field, is this whole, hey, what does it mean to be a husband who loves their spouse well? Okay? And it's almost like you take this hard right turn where you go, okay, imitate God, live as children of the light. Oh, and by the way, be a good husband. And so I think that's there because, you know what? You are who you are with your spouse, okay? You can fool a lot of people. You're not fooling your spouse. And that I find that is true in my marriage in spades, right? Like my wife will call me out when she thinks I'm going through the motions or I'm trying to be someone I'm not. But that's who you really are, is who you are at home. And so Paul is saying, hey, listen, that's where a lot of this starts, which is are you laying your life down for your spouse? Are you other-centered or is it all about you all the time? Okay, so that's kind of the outline. And the emphasis here is on becoming more like Jesus. And if we back up, you know, Paul, in a lot of his letters, talks about a lot of this. And the key for him is that there's two approaches to kind of growing spiritually. The first one is trying, okay? And trying is hey, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to try and be more like Jesus today. And then the second model is training, okay? In one, I'm going to try real hard. In the second, I am going to train myself to be ready to go. And the way he uses a lot of analogies about runners, he uses a lot of analogies about competition, he uses a lot of analogies about training. So for example, in 1 Timothy, where he's writing to a young Timothy about growing his leader, he just says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. That's 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, okay? Then if you flip to some of his other writings, he talks about what does it mean to train like a soldier, okay? And I think one of the big mistakes that we make when we want to become more like Jesus is we focus on trying really hard, not training. And so, you know, I don't know what kind of shape you're in this morning, okay? But if we decided that, hey, today is the first Men's Summit Marathon, okay? And we're all gonna go home, get our tennis shoes, meet back here at 8 o'clock, and we're gonna go run 26.3 miles, okay? And if I just said, hey, we're gonna try really hard to go do that, okay? How's that gonna work, okay? Well, probably for about the first 500 yards, it might work okay. And then people are gonna start falling off. And there is this sense in which we think we can grow to be like Jesus by trying really hard in the moment, okay? We're gonna try and be kind. We're gonna try and manage our anger. We're gonna try to manage our sexual thoughts, okay? And we're just gonna, okay. And what Paul has said is that is a losing strategy, okay? If you wake up every day and your strategy is, I'm just gonna try harder, okay, that does not last. Instead, what Paul says is, you need to train. And that language is filled really throughout all of his letters in the New Testament. And there is this sense in which we need to do the training beforehand so that when the moment comes up, we're ready to go, okay? And so then the question is what's your training strategy, okay? And that's where we really wanna focus on for the next 15 minutes before we go and talk, okay? And so Paul writes in here, he'll write like at the beginning, be an imitator of God, okay? But a losing strategy is I'm gonna try really hard to be like Jesus. Okay, a better strategy is I'm gonna train to be like Jesus, okay? And so what we wanna do is look at Ephesians 5, we'll pull in some of Paul's other writings and go, how is it that we train for godliness, okay? And I'm gonna grab there's a guy named Craig Rochelle, he's a pastor in Oklahoma. He's kind of come up with just a little foreword thing for how you train. And I want to totally steal that this morning as we're talking about this, okay? So the first step in training for godliness, okay? The first step is it starts in your mind, okay? And so if you look up here, it says, hey, when we allow God to change the way we think, then it will change how we act. And so what, this, by the way, comes right out of Romans chapter 12, okay? In Romans chapter 12, Paul is talking about transformation, right? And he says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, okay? That's Romans 12, verse 2. Okay, and in that language, he's essentially saying, listen, as a believer, you are called to be other than in this world. And here is where it all starts. It all starts with what you think, okay? And there's a couple of really important things there. The first one is what do you think about God? Because what is true is if you want to be transformed, that is the single most important thing about you. Is what you think about God. And if you think that God is good and he can be trusted and he can be followed, right? Then what happens is when life gets hard, okay, you're gonna tend to lean into him, okay? And so, that happened, by the way, this week for us in our family. So my wife is from Nashville, okay? And she knows several of the victims that got shot at that school, including one of the 9-year-old little girls. For 3 years, she was in one of Jeannie's Sunday school classes here in Dallas before the family moved back there, okay? And so she's just dealing with that. And she's like, who's gonna stand with that family at the funeral? Okay? If you land in those kinds of points and you haven't decided that God is good yet, you are in trouble, okay? It's too late, okay? Because at that moment, when life throws you something you're not expecting, you better darn well be sure that God is good, because if you don't think he's good, you won't lean into him. You will lean away from him, okay? And what is true about life is if you think God is good, then you will trust him, okay? If you trust him, you'll follow him, okay? But if you don't trust him, you're not following him. And so one of the things we want to say this morning is as we look at a passage in Ephesians, and there's this very stark difference between running after Jesus and becoming more like him and being a man of this world, okay, it all starts with if you think he's good, you'll follow him, okay? If you follow him, then he will change you, okay? But there is no getting changed if you think you got a better plan than God's plan. Okay, so that's kind of where it starts. And then there's a part of it, which is, hey, that's just not a one-time thing. We have got to constantly renew our mind, because the world is sending us all of these messages that run counter to what God says, okay? And so if you are not filling your mind with God's instruction, you're automatically gonna default to what the world is. Okay, it's like being in a current, like a river current, where we are getting swept 20 miles an hour down current. Okay, and God is saying, listen, the way to transformation, the way to becoming a follower is to swim against the current of this world. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Okay, and what we need to understand is listen, if you are not actively renewing your mind, you are getting swept downstream. Okay, that's what's gonna happen. And so there is a part of it where when we spend time in God's word, when we memorize scripture, he is at work changing our thoughts, okay? And that is the key if you wanna change your behavior, okay? You've got to renew your mind. You've got to see the world the way that God sees it. You've got to lock in on the things that he says are important. That's why we're here in Summit, because we wanna be transformed. Okay, so that's where it starts, which is renew your mind. The second part of that is remain in him, okay? And we see that at the beginning of Ephesians, where it talks about, hey, you need to be an imitator of God, And what a lot of people do is they think, okay, I gotta love God better, you know, and I gotta love people better, and I gotta be generous. And we can form this long list of things we can do, okay? And what I would say is it starts way before that, okay? When you look at the life Jesus lived, a lot of it was he went and got it separate and prayed to God. He went alone to a lonely place. And there is this constant theme, if you read the Gospels, of Jesus getting alone to be with God, and through that, getting strength and power and having his heart, you know, to come back. Even, you know, Jesus, who was perfect, needed to get away with God. And there's lots of instances where after a pattern of intense ministry, Jesus goes off by himself to pray, okay? And so it really starts with all of those private things. And it's not just, hey, I'm going to try and be like Jesus when the game starts, okay? I'm going to do the practice before the game starts so that once the game starts, I am ready. And so that is the remaining in Jesus. And the plan is, hey, let's just imitate his way of life. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul just says, hey, your strategy, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. That's what Paul says. Hey, I'm running after Jesus. You follow me as I'm following him. Okay. In Ephesians 5, he says, be imitators of God. And so he's just constantly saying, hey, listen, you need to do the things off the field that will get you ready so that when the game starts, you're ready to play. Okay, because it's not just about, I'm not going to train, I'm not going to practice, I'm going to get into the middle of the game, and I'm going to try really hard. Okay? I mean, you got to get in condition, you got to practice the skills, so that when the game starts, you're ready. And that's the language that Paul is using here. And I think, look, I'll just tell you in my own life, I rely too much on trying and not enough on training. And so the key for me is establishing a behavior where there is daily training in my life, okay, so that when the game starts and I'm on the field, I am responding in a way that is glorifying to Jesus, okay? And so it's just this, what is my training regimen? And you know, what I would say is my training regimen, I try to make it really simple, okay? Because if it's not simple, I won't follow it. Okay, like if we were to write a list, we could write a list up on the board of 45 things you can do to train to be like Jesus, okay? The problem is it's really hard to do 45 things on any kind of consistent daily basis, okay? So what you need to do is find out, hey, what are the two or three things that really move the needle for you, okay? What are the two or three things that if you are engaged in them in a consistent way will have a material impact on your faith and your maturity and acting like someone who lives in the light, okay? And for me, there's really two keys, okay? The first key is that I have to be not just reading my Bible, but applying my Bible, okay? And for me, that's just, hey, I'm gonna pick up my Bible every day, and even if I only have time to read a paragraph, I'm just gonna say, okay, I'm gonna read it, I'm gonna ask what it means, and then I'm gonna apply it to my life. That simple. Okay, Lord, here's how this impacts me today. That's step one. And I've just got a simple thing where if I wanna have the bar so low that I can be consistent at it, right? So for me, it's 5 minutes each morning, okay? So can I take 5 minutes, open my Bible, you know, we're doing Join the Journey, which is where our family is right now. And what's great about that is you can talk, you know, would you get out of it? Would you get up? So I can do that with my wife and my kids. But that's step one. And step two for me in that renewing your mind is memorizing scripture, okay? And so what I have found is that lots of times I'm vaguely familiar with verses, but they come up in life and then I'm like, oh, where is that verse again? Okay? And so if I'm memorizing them, then I've got them when I need them. Okay? I can bring God's wisdom to bear. Okay? Because what I have found for men is that, like, if we're counseling a guy who's got issues, okay, we've got all kinds of counsel for him. But then if you ask, okay, where in the Bible would you go to support what you just said? Okay, the room just goes silent. And a lot of us, we're kind of vaguely aware of where it is, but memorizing scripture will help you to have it in your heart so that when you need it, it comes up. And so those are the two things for me. And I don't know what your daily training strategy is, okay? But if you don't have one, I'm going to bet that you're not performing on the field the way you could be. And so it's identifying what that is, okay? So it's renew your mind, it's remain in him. Okay, both of those happen before the game starts. And if you haven't done the preparation work, you're gonna be in trouble once the game's going, okay? Then the last two steps are while the game is going on. And the first one is we need to acknowledge that we can't, but God can. And okay, and this is recovery language, okay? Where if you look at, the 12 steps, where the step one is acknowledging you don't have the power to change yourself, okay? But God can transform you. And so it's understanding that we're inviting God into our hearts to change us from the inside out. And it's just saying, okay, Lord, I can't try hard enough. I need you to give me a sense of love for others. I need you to change me. And so that's step one. And then the second step is we need to ask for God's power. And the great thing is there is power in prayer. And so it's just saying, Lord, please help me. Help me. And if we can do that, if we can renew our minds, if we can remain in Christ, if we can acknowledge, you know, this isn't about toughing through it all by ourselves. We need him and we ask for his help. Okay, that is a formula for being transformed, okay? And that is what is showing up in all of Paul's writings when he talks about you are training, not trying. And what you discover is that there is a sense in which if you are daily training, you will get better and better over time, okay? Four months ago, I had a hip replacement. Okay. I had this thing called avascular necrosis. Okay. Which means that the blood to the hip, the blood wasn't getting to the hip and the hip tissue started to die. That's the same injury, by the way, that Bo Jackson had, you know. Now that's the only thing that Bo Jackson and I have in common. Okay. But me and Bo, we both had avascular necrosis. Okay. So I had hip surgery. Now I'm trying to get back to being in shape. And so I'm starting this process, okay, where I'm starting to run again. And in fact, for the first time, I went out and actually jogged the other day. And what hit me, first of all, was, oh my gosh, how did this get so much harder? Okay? And if you take time off from something, it's amazing the decline rate, okay? I've noticed the same thing lifting weights in the gym. Right, like if I miss a week or two in the gym, like the weights all of a sudden got materially heavier. Like how does that happen? Okay, and what it is with training, it's never like you can say, okay, I have trained, now I'm good for the rest of my life. Okay, training is a daily thing. And it's doing the little things every day that lead you to be able to perform on the field. Okay, and so as we close out this morning, I simply want to go, okay, listen, are you training or are you trying? And if you're training, okay, what's your strategy? Because God's calling us to imitate him. He's calling us to live in the light. He's calling us to be other-centered in our marriages, okay? And the question is how do you do that? And you do that by training, not trying. Okay, so let me pray for us and then we'll release us to our groups. Father, thank you so much for not giving up on us. Lord, you know that we're not the men we want to be. But we pray, God, that you are transforming us into people that love you, that follow you, that imitate you, that put others first. Lord, that aren't bogged down by sexual immorality or greed or drunkenness or coarse language. But Father, the marks of our life are being considerate and gentle and kind and loving and self-sacrificing. Those are the men we want to be. And I pray, God, that for each one of us, you would help us to train. And Lord, that you might transform us to be more like your son, Jesus. And Father, that everyone in our lives would see that. And they would see you in us. We pray this in your name this morning. Amen.